The AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media
I'm
app.
I'm Alexis Christophorus. Back from Maui, FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell at a White House briefing today with updated numbers on federal resources that have been sent to the island.
We have deployed more than 700 personnel to the disaster, with more than 600 already on the island. We have given out $2.3 million in assistance to families, and we have approved over 1,300 registrations for assistance.
President Biden will visit the island next Monday, where the death toll has risen to 106. A former staff member of Representative George Santos indicted for impersonating an aide to Speaker Kevin McCarthy to raise funds for Santos. Samuel Mealy was charged with sending emails and making phone calls seeking campaign contributions. Former President Trump and his associates given until next Friday to turn themselves in at the Fulton County Jail after charges they tried to overturn Georgia's 2020 election results. This is ABC News. A judge in Montana has ruled this week in favor of climate activists ranging from ages 5 to 22 who say that the state isn't doing enough to protect them from the effects of climate change. ABC's Devin Dwyer reports.
Montana is one of a handful of states that has explicit language in the text of the Constitution guaranteeing citizens of Montana a right to a clean and healthful environment. And what Ricky and 15 other young people alleged was that the state's support for fossil fuels and specifically a ban in Montana on any agency considering greenhouse gases and making policy decisions, they argued that that was violating that terms of the Constitution, that guarantee, and a judge agreed.
Victims of last year's racially motivated mass shooting at a Buffalo, New York supermarket filing a pair of lawsuits against gun manufacturers and social media companies they say allowed the gunman to carry out his crimes. Alexis Christophorus, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The National Weather Service is forecasting strong to severe storms across northwestern Wisconsin this evening. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk for severe weather for all of northwest Wisconsin tonight, from as far south as Buffalo County and east to Taylor, Price, and Vilas counties. By 7 p.m., a line of stronger storms will surge in from Minnesota and rip into northwest Wisconsin, packing the potential for damaging wind gusts and large hail. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A century-old program at UW-Madison is relocating to UW-River Falls. The Farming and Industry Short Course will move because UW-Madison ended the program last year. A UW-River Falls official said that the move was for the best because Western Wisconsin supports agriculture education and that the area farmers will support the program. The state legislature is working on providing more funding to the program, which teaches agribusiness over the course of 2 years. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media.
608-819-8255.
We'll be right back.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Or at vinaigrettemn.com. Elevate your cooking game with vinaigrette.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Brett, Jeff Stein joining us here in just a little bit. You pointed out a flaw in the newscast there, Brett, at the top of the hour.
Yeah, it was funny as I was listening to that newscast talking about how they're reciting this Quinnipiac poll saying that Americans were split as to whether Donald Trump should be prosecuted on criminal charges. Well, that poll actually showed it was 54-42 saying he should be prosecuted. And
they do that a lot.
And 12 in today's climate, that's a pretty significant margin of 12 points.
Well, I noticed, was it in 2016 we were talking about it, that a poll where America's divided and the one side was like 63%. And I'm like, okay, no, that's not divided. That's basically two thirds.
In the political climate of like 30 years ago, maybe you could call 54-42 divided, but not today. I mean, anything that's more than like a 5-point margin is pretty significant.
Yes. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's windy outside. Did you know? It just started as soon as I started coming into the radio station.
I haven't been out there yet to see, but I can look on the camera and see stuff blowing around right now.
Wow. It's a hot wind, so, oh, God. Okay, am I crazy? When I grew up here, I grew up with summers. It was 75 degrees and perfect. And a hot day was 80, 82. And an extremely hot day was 90. And now I got my kids. I'm walking around with my son today. And we're out there walking around. And he's like, oh, this is perfect. I'm like, it's 82 and it's starting to get warm. And I'm like, no, this is not. This is starting to get a little hot. And what it is, I mean, my kids do not remember the summers that I remember, which I imagine the summers. I mean, I'm not saying that they were wearing parkas when my dad was a kid. But at the same time, it's definitely warmer. I mean, I was looking at Sven's stuff over on Bring Me the News. I think we're going to have like the 24th, 25th, 90 degree plus day, and we usually have 12, and that average is up dramatically just since 2000. It used to be, we used to have like 4 or 5 90 degree days, one 100 degree day every 2 or 3 years. And now it's just, I had a friend, to give you an idea how crazy this is, I had a friend who lived in Houston. And I said, well, what's a perfect evening for you? And they said, oh, being down by the water and it's 85 degrees. I'm like, 85? Dear God. That's what we get now at nights in some evenings, 85 degrees. No. I am not moving to Arizona ever after this summer. Not a chance on the planet. Florida's insanity. I'm not moving down there regardless of anything. And plus the fact that it's the, you know, weather-wise, it's a mess down there. But that's like
enjoy thunderstorms every day at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Well, okay, so I learned something from going down to Beaufort. Okay, so you have the coast, right? And then you have all these islands right off the coast. Well, the islands is where you get tagged, man. The islands are where it's all of a sudden, oh, rain, and we're talking God pours a bucket. Okay, it's kind of one of those things where if you weren't expecting wet t-shirt concert, you're about to get one, and just be prepared for it. Don't wear white. Just FYI, that's just a name of the game. Pours, bright sunshine. 20 minutes later, they don't even. I mean, and so I'd be out on like St. Helen Island, and you're like, wow, it's just pouring rain here. And when you get back to the mainland, they didn't see a thing. Didn't see a drop. So yeah, but it's Florida. You know, the crotch sweat is about the most appealing thing about that place. That and Disney. Oh, Disney's fun. But I mean, it's pricey but fun. But there is no redeeming quality to Florida. I was reading some story about Florida and Texas. Just in Texas, in Texas, they had a new mandate that every school has to have an armed guard at all times. And they want to pay an armed guard annual salary $15,000. That's the amount of money that they set aside for each school district to hire an armed guard, which they have to have in Texas. The only other exception is you can have a staff member legally trained do it. And funny story, most teachers don't want to all of a sudden be, you know, the Matrix flipping around in the hallways shooting at gunmen. So this is an unfunded mandate. I mean, by the way, an armed guard of this magnitude is about at least bare minimum $80,000 a year. Most of the ones that were available to be hired have been hired away by the private schools. So for public schools, they're basically having to force staff members to be trained gunmen. Texas. Elementary schools in Texas. In Florida, I was reading about how, you know how DeSantis took over that one, was it the New College down in Florida?
Yeah, that's New College, correct.
The New College has literally fallen apart. They are down about a third of their staff. They can't even offer the basic classes. One kid was talking about how he's having to transfer to New Hampshire because one of the few colleges that will accept the credits from the new school now. And the reason why is that I have classes I have to take to get my major. Four of those classes were not even available. So he can't even get his major there. And this is because, and if you didn't pay attention, Ron DeSantis literally loaded the board of this. It was a liberal fine arts college. And he loaded it up with far-right MAGA people and immediately purged half the staff, another part of the staff left. They are grossly understaffed at this point. They don't even have half the classes they say they are going to carry. They don't even have them on the schedule. You can't sign up for them. And then they went out and they expanded out their athletic program because they wanted to turn it into a big college school, big football college and stuff like this. They didn't have the housing. So they basically now have had to boot all the juniors and seniors out of the dorm rooms, even though they promised the juniors and seniors they were going to be in the dorm rooms so that they could put the student athletes in the dorm rooms. And so now they're putting them into substandard housing that was meant to be remodeled, that's got mold and other plumbing issues. That's New College right there. And I want to make sure we understand this. This was a perfectly functioning college that liberal or that the Republicans labeled the liberals had gone woke with. So they put conservatives in there and it has completely fallen freaking apart.
I follow this a little bit. They just recently, by the way, spent $2 million on a cancel culture center.
Cancel culture center?
Yeah, for educating people on that. $2 million is what they spent on this.
Oh, God. I can't believe they're going to have it be accredited. I mean, if they're not offering the classes for graduation, they're not going to get accredited. And then all of a sudden it's going to be, first of all, they're going to pat themselves. We did a great job. And then they're going to say, well, we didn't. It was perfectly fine when we left it, when it's a burning husk. Apparently Florida Athletic or Florida International. What's the other one that he apparently forced them to hire one of his buddies as the head of the university. And he is so inept at it that the university is already struggling big time. He has no idea. He has no interest in running the college. This is it's maybe you keep asking yourselves, like, these universities, why do they always hire liberals? Well, because maybe you guys are just complete idiots. How about that, you know? How about you guys don't know what the heck you're doing? How about that? So, once again, good luck. All you Republicans, you're heading to Texas, you're heading to Florida. Good luck. It's nice to know that your school library is going to be shut down in Texas to pay for a gunman in the school. What's the timeline this next school year of an accidental shooting of a student in a school? How many weeks? I'm going to say four. Within 4 weeks, before the end of September in Texas, they will have an accidental shooting of a student.
You're worried about having a $15,000 a year guard? I mean, you're not probably getting the cream of the crop of the people who are going to be responsible with that gun.
$15,000. 15 whole $1,000, you say? That could get me out of a lot of jams. But I have to be here on weekdays? Oh, come on. You know, good luck with that. Oh, God. Texas and Florida. You make Minnesota look freaking fantastic. I just want to let you know. You just keep making us look fantastic. We look like we're Competentville up here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I've got good news on a breaking story. Now, obviously, we got Stein, so we're going to talk with Stein extensively about... That's actually the title of the segment. That's coming up here in just a second. Oh, gosh. I'll save it. I got a lot I can talk about there. But I do have an update on... The Kansas story, the newspaper down in Kansas, where the police went in there and raided it on a massive First Amendment violation. This according to the New York Times, this came down about 2:15 this afternoon. The Marion County Record, a newspaper in Kansas that the police raided last week, is getting its equipment back from local law enforcement, the county's top prosecutor said on Wednesday. Joel Enzi, the Marion County attorney, said in a statement that there was insufficient evidence to justify the search of the Marion County Record and seize its journalist's equipment. As a result, this is quote, as a result, I have submitted a proposed order asking the court to release the evidence seized. He said, I have asked local law enforcement to return the material seized to the owners of the property. The police and county sheriff's deputies raided the newspaper office and the home of its owner and editor and the home of the city councilman on Friday, collecting computers, cell phones, and other materials. It is an extremely rare for law enforcement authorities in the United States to search and seize the tools to produce journalism. The searches were part of an investigation into how the Record obtained and handled a document containing information about a local restaurateur. By the way, they actually said before the raid, we went there's a service you can pay for in Kansas that will give you someone's driving record. And they went and paid for it, and they gave them the receipt, and that wasn't good enough for them. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation, an agency that aids law enforcement, said its statement that investigation would continue. The search generated blowback from First Amendment experts. The fact that the county attorney, let's talk about a few things here. The fact that the county attorney basically has, in 5 days, said, no, give them this stuff back now. That tells you everything. That this is, there is no merit here. Because what the county attorney's got to look at is this. We're going to get sued. We're going to get sued for violating their First Amendment rights. And it might not be a criminal trial, but it'll be a civil trial. And we will lose unless there are I's dotted and T's crossed. And so, if I may break down what happened here, what appears to have happened here. There is this woman in town, Carrie Everett, who owns a restaurant who seems to be, she was hosting a political event for a Republican, seems to be that she is, you know, big within the Republican coffers. The paper shows up to cover the event. She kicks them out of the restaurant and basically, he kicks them out of the restaurant and basically, you know, they accuse them of being liberal media, blah, blah, blah. The Republican politician who was there, his office was very quick to say, we had nothing to do with that. That was the restaurant. We had nothing to do with that. We have no problem with freedom of press. So even they were like, okay, this is a little heavy-handed. The next day, someone contacted the paper and said that the woman, Carrie Everett, had apparently had a DWI and basically was still driving, was able to drive, even though that she hadn't, I guess, done the proper paperwork and filed the proper paperwork to get her license back. They looked into it, hired a service, which you can legally do, and it checked, and indeed the driving record had not been, you know, expunged per se. But they themselves realized, wait a minute, this might be a setup, which, you know, kudos to these guys. They figured out, they kind of looked through this and said, okay, this doesn't smell right. And this might have been an attempt to set them up. So what they did do is they did not publish that information, but did contact the police saying, oh, by the way, in our reporting, we have come across the fact that someone is illegally driving. Now, what it appears happened is Carrie Everett ordered the Marion police to raid the newspaper, claiming that they had somehow obtained information illegally without any evidence, and the fact that this all their evidence is coming back shows me that this was a completely made up fraudulent thing, that there was no evidence that they had done anything wrong at all. But this private citizen ordered the police to raid this newspaper. Now, what's not clear is whether or not the judge that signed off on this, which, you know, stupid. I mean, how stupid of a judge are you that someone says, I want to raid a newspaper? And you say, wait a second, what? You want to do what? But maybe the police lied to the judge and made up evidence that wasn't really there to justify the raid. Because once again, their argument is, well, when a crime has happened, we have the right to raid a newspaper. Yeah, but that's like if you know, say, the editor of the newspaper, like in a bad Murder, She Wrote episode, murder their mother or something like that. And by the way, speaking of which, the raid caused so much stress to the woman who owned it, the mother of the current editor, she actually died. And the coroner actually labeled stress from the raid as the reason why she died. Yeah. But the police could raid a newspaper if they feel a crime, an actual crime was committed, but they did not have any evidence of a crime. So you have this happen. It's an absolute joke. How in the world does a newspaper or a police department take its marching orders from a single individual in the community saying, I want you to raid, I don't care about the Constitution, go get them. And by the way, this seems like a setup. If this is a setup, if they can say, well, the initial tip, say, came from Carrie Everett herself in an attempt to try to set them up and make them look bad and sue the newspaper. If they can prove that, then she's in a lot of trouble. The police department's in a lot of trouble. The county's in a lot of trouble. Even if they're giving the newspaper stuff, their stuff back today, even if they give it back today, you're still going to have a pretty airtight civil lawsuit with the death of mom in pain and suffering. And if I'm the newspaper, I'm like, okay, you want to go to war? Let's go to war and take them for every damn dime they've got. Because this is a joke that they would even try to do something like this. And sue Carrie Everett, sue all of them, sue them all. And you know, basically take it every dime they've got. I guarantee you this, no one involved with this, Carrie Everett, the Marion Police Department, the judge, no one thought that this story was going to, they thought they were going to do this and they were going to put that newspaper in its place. And now they are, because this story, by the way, New York Times flash report. Nationally. So if you get the New York Times flash report, yeah. There you go. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I'll tell you what, I'll come back a little bit more on the story before we get to Stein. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Believe it or not, barely a month from now, the kids will be back in school. So while you're getting some fresh looks for your kids before they head back, make sure to get a fresh look for your home, too, with my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Carpets, tile, rugs, upholstery, basically every surface in your home can be Zero Resified, so it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res. It's also the height of the summer allergy season, so it's the perfect time to get your air ducts cleaned. Get that nasty pollen and dust that's been swirling through your air conditioner out of your home. This month from Zero Res, get 3 rooms of carpet clean starting at just $129 and take $75 off an air duct cleaning. You owe it to yourself, your kids, and your home to get the fall off to a good start. Call Zero Res today, 952-0-RES, or schedule an appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, backward or forward, spells the same.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wah!
There really is no place like home. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Home Health. When you're faced with an illness or an injury, being able to stay at home and receive care is important. Our home health offers a wide range of services, including skilled nursing, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, AIDS, homemakers, in-home respite care, and 24/7 live-in care. We'll work closely with your primary care provider to come up with an individualized plan for you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Looks like the Twins lost again to the Detroit Tigers. Twins, don't tell me to take you seriously when, sure, you get two wins in Philadelphia and look good. You're playing a Detroit team that's atrocious, and you've lost, I think you lost by two games the season series against Detroit. Dear God, man. You got swept by Kansas City in Kansas City. That's one of the worst teams we've seen in 100 years. Don't tell me to take you seriously. I can't take you seriously when, oh, here it is. We've turned the corner. Pat us on the back. Big home run, grand slam last night. And then you lose meekly to a Detroit again. I mean, my God, I mean, good teams don't lose like this. Good teams do not lose like this. Oh, God, just an embarrassment. And once again, these are the easy games. You got tough teams you're going to have to beat. And you're supposed to win these games. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Vikings. I'm looking forward to the Gopher football team. I'm actually kind of moving past the Twins because of stuff like this. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, man, it's not over. They're still in first place. I know, but how am I supposed to get excited about this team when the teams we should be beating 10-0 are just throttling us over and over again?
That Tiger stat is pretty crazy. Yeah, Detroit is not good at all.
They're not good. They're just not good. Back to the story out of Kansas. Joanne Meyer, the co-owner of the paper, died on Saturday. Her son, Eric Meyer, the newspaper's publisher, said that the coroner had concluded that the stress from the searches was a contributing factor to her death. Bernard J. Rhodes, a lawyer who represents the record, called the county's decision to withdraw its search warrant and return the seized items a promising first step. However, it does nothing to recompense the paper for the violation of the First Amendment rights when the search was conducted. He added, it most regrettably does not return Joanne Meyer. Mr. Rhodes says that a forensic expert will examine the property that had been seized by investigators. He added that he was assured that the equipment had not been combed through by investigators, but said he wanted to make sure. Of course, I'm sorry. I'm going to bet the cops already went through all the paper, the stuff in this. And by the way, if the forensic expert comes back and says, yep, someone accessed all this stuff. Someone accessed all this stuff from the time it was taken. Someone accessed and looked at this file and this file, this file and this file and got all this information. If someone comes back and does this, I mean, they're dead to rights. I mean, this is going to be a massive civil lawsuit and should be a federal lawsuit, too. We still, I mean, this story does not talk about the judge. Because, I mean, that's the next big question is, was the judge lied to by the Marion police? Because Carrie Everett is apparently so convincing that the police department basically lied to the judge? Or was the judge going along saying, sure, raid a newspaper? It's hard to comprehend that someone would be this stupid in this day and age. To do that. But I talked about the Florida school thing where it's like, we're going to put in a bunch of far righters who are going to fix this problem. And that school is on fire and burning. They think to themselves, we're going to solve this problem. We're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, the same Republicans, we're going to shut down this liberal newspaper. And the next thing you know, it's, oh, we violated the First Amendment, you say. Oh, we opened up the county and everyone involved into a civil lawsuit potential. Oh, hey, newspaper, sorry about the death of your mom. Hey, we're really, really sorry about this. Here's all your stuff back. Hey, by the way, we happened to turn things on and take a look around a little bit. I hope you didn't mind. this is a bad, well, this is bad. And frankly, I'm going to keep track of this because I want to find out everything that happens with this story. Because at this point, the fact that the county attorney, think about this, and I want to tell you, this is a Kansas county attorney, basically quickly giving all the computers and everything. Oh, no, you don't have anything close to validation here. Give it all back. Give it all back now. Just give it back. We're done. Give it all back. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Have the newspaper and Carrie Everett come out? It's like, well, at least we proved our point. Yeah, that you're idiots. We'll take a break, come back. Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
New at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Kuma wood stoves and fireplace inserts. American-made, sturdy and efficient wood heaters. All models qualify for 30% tax credit you can earn for installing efficient and renewable wood heat. Come see the new wood-burning Kuma stoves and fireplace inserts.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has been selling wood-burning products since 1977. Kuma wood burners are hard-working home heaters made from heavy, laser-cut steel. Kuma stoves and fireplace inserts have cast iron doors and large self-cleaning glass windows. You can see the firelight and feel the heat from their efficient fire. One of Woodland's many choices to make fire work for you and your home.
Work with the chimney and insulation experts. They not only install, but will guide you if you want to install yourself. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Chambaud Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambaudFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 89. Tonight, showers and storms with a low around 61. And Thursday, sunny with a high near 76.
Take your meals to the next level with Vinaigrette's premium oils and vinegars. They have a huge selection, so you'll never run out of options. Vinaigrette is the perfect choice for anyone who loves quality ingredients. Located in Minneapolis off 50th and Xerxes or at VinaigretteMN.com. Elevate your cooking game with Vinaigrette.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You'll find his books over at Next Chapter Books. A great read, by the way. Thinking of early holiday gifts, go get those. Also, totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Where are you ramping up for Panther football season? Is that what we're getting into?
No, we don't care anymore. We don't do the games, so we don't care.
Oh, nice Iowa pride there, buddy.
Okay, here's the thing. Do you work if you don't get paid?
Well, actually, that's, you know, it's radio, perhaps, so that's a redundant question.
You're a bad example, come to think of it. No, I mean, the bottom line, and we've said it publicly, they lowballed us, and we said, go play somewhere else.
Oh,
so literally, we don't care anymore.
Okay.
Well, how's that?
By the way, your home for Panther football this year is AM. No, not really. Actually, no, it's not.
if you could make a dime off of that, you go right ahead.
Wow, that's a shot, too. That's nicely done. All right, let's talk about coming up at the Chuckle Hut in Atlanta here. March 4th, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has asked a judge to set a trial date of March 4th. The former President Trump and his 18 co-defendants. Arraignment week begins September 5th, like Shark Week only. Yeah, that's according to a court filing. We had yesterday our legal expert, Jack Rice, who's on Court TV a lot. He said there's really, it becomes very difficult considering the nature of these charges are very Georgia specific, that you cannot, you're not likely going to move this to federal court. Doesn't mean that they couldn't, you know, charge him in federal court, just like Derek Chauvin, where they charged him locally in Hennepin County and they charged him in federal court for violating George Floyd's rights. Doesn't mean you can't do that. It just is, you're not going to be able to, considering the RICO charges here involved are more strict than the federal charges, that this is going to stay in Georgia and Trump's in trouble with this. Your thoughts on, first of all, just the case as it's come out?
Well, the concept of moving to federal court, I understand why Mark Meadows wants to do that, but to the point you just made, these are state charges.
Yeah.
And if you say, well, it's a federal election, no, it really isn't. That's the whole point of the Electoral College. And so you just don't have the ability. I have seen some folks on the right posit it this way, and I think it's sound thinking. Regardless of whether or not you think that the charges have merit. And by the way, four charging decisions now, four different jurisdictions, four different cases where the former president of the United States is facing a total of 91 felonies. All right. If you're keeping score, if you have 91 on your bingo card, good for you.
Wow.
But the point that they're making is, and these are supporters who say there are four different places, two federal, two state. All they need is to get him on one of them. And their point is made. And so, Trump can go out there and say, hey, go ahead, indict me again. That's going to guarantee my election. But the more different jurisdictions, different cases, different causes of action you have that you're facing, it's just a numbers game. And again, they only need to strike with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the part about the setting the trial date for the day before Super Tuesday, similar to the other charges where it's, hey, let's do it a week before the Iowa caucus or whatever. And these prosecutors who are talking about, we want a speedy trial. That's not the prosecution's right in a criminal case. It is the defendant's right to speedy trial. The defendant has the right to say, you must try me within, in most areas, it's 90 days. But the defendant can waive the right to speedy trial. And the prosecution then has to justify why it needs to be held now as opposed to later. And when you get some of these cases that are so complicated with confidential records, et cetera, that's hard. On top of it, often if there are co-defendants, you want to, if you're the defense, you want to have separate trials. Mm-hmm. You don't want a whole gang together when you're alleging conspiracy, right? If you just think about the optics of this, we allege that these people conspired, and then you've got six defendants and they're three lawyers each, and it all looks like they're ganging up on the prosecution. So, I mean, the defense wants to split this, but that's the trick. If you're going to now have multiple trials, who goes first? And if you're the prosecution, you're trying to claim conspiracy, you want them together.
Well,
and so this just becomes very complicated to do quickly, regardless, Matt, of who the defendant is.
Well, and also should be noted that the RICO charges in Georgia are much more stringent than the federal level. So that's one of the things. They have a lot more teeth. How about I say it like that? They got a lot more teeth. And this, and here's the problem for Trump is that this, even if he does win the presidency, this case is not going away. This case is going to be going, because this is a state charge, and he's going to be, that's going to be, and there's potential jail time involved with the state charge. And so it's, You know, it could be, say, you know, I don't think he's going to win. As a matter of fact, I think that there's going to be a come to Jesus moment for Republicans to a point on this. That I don't know if he's going to run, but if he does run and he did, you know, somehow win, that there is a decent chance that he, if this case goes forward, he would be in trouble. Because as I have said before with many of these things, this was an attempted overthrow of the government carried out by the stupidest human beings on the freaking planet. They've got everything. They've got emails, texts, they've got video, they've got these. I mean, some of these people, they have them dead to rights. And this, here's the part when, with Trump specifically, which I think is just really interesting. You and I think we both had understood that it was Rudy Giuliani on election night running through the White House screaming, don't concede, and claim we won. Now we found out in October 31st, it was before the election, there were meetings going on within Trump and his officials to where they were going to claim voter fraud before any votes were cast or counted, I should say, because there was early voting. But before any votes were counted, they were going to claim voter fraud. They were already doing this. This plan was in place almost 2 weeks before the election even happened, which is a pretty, they've got the evidence of that. And that's pretty damning. That's going to be very hard for them to overcome, that this wasn't some sort of coordinated plan, that this was somehow organic and occurred on its own.
Well, you certainly can't claim that it's organic. You've got too many people involved,
yeah,
just at the very base of it. I mean, let's assume it all sprung organically on election night. And again, I'm just saying for the sake of conversation, there's too many people involved.
Yeah.
Now the thing that I find interesting, here's a danger, okay, before you start making popcorn and getting ready to watch TV.
Oh, no, I've got popcorn. I've been buckets, man, buckets.
The thing is, you have to be careful not to overcharge. And that's one of the things that, again, the Trump public opinion stance is piling on. You got to be careful. Now, in a case where you've got the conspiracy and you have, what is it, 18 other defendants, I lost track. I mean, you can field a football team with fewer individuals than are in this criminal indictment, all right, with some despair. You charge that many people hoping somebody rolls, right? Oh, there are a couple of these people. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. All right, here's the documents case. You charge the valet. Why? He's nothing. He's following orders. I mean, he's a fine, probably a very fine, God-fearing human being. But
greatest
I'm just saying,
stashing documents. Fantastic. I mean, well, you can't find better.
You don't know. Maybe he's good at following orders and
stacking.
Moving by. You don't know. But the point is, he's not your target. He's your squeeze. He's the one you want to get to flip on your target. Okay, you've got this Georgia situation. You got all of these different people, including lawyers, who are saying, whoops, we've now crossed a line here, perhaps, and I got to get out of this to save my own hide.
Yeah.
Because some of them are blindly loyal, and others are blindly loyal to themselves, and don't look good in either black and white stripes or orange. Take your pick.
Going just very quickly on the documents case, Trump is not letting those two employees out of his sight. They are basically being dragged around with Trump everywhere he goes, and that's a fact. This case, this is where it gets nuts. Now,
somebody's got to help get his pork chop on a stick at the Iowa State Fair Saturday. You got to have
and
your people.
Stack that in a bathroom, please. Thank you. Okay, so like I said, attempt mm-hmm. to overthrow the government, stupidest people on the planet. You and I have talked about when it comes to getting Trump, you're going to have to get the people that are on that first layer around him, and I think they do. Mark Meadows is in trouble. He apparently is caught on record trying to give Trump campaign cash to an investigator auditing Georgia's mail-in ballots to try to get him to say that there is fraud. Now, if you have the White House chief of staff at that point during the campaign, actually taking Trump campaign cash. I mean, this makes Nixon look like nothing. You've got him on record, basically. You've got an audio tape of him offering this. You know, someone's going to flip, because if you've read through some of these charges here, there is a lot of teeth here. And that these people, this is not overreach, especially when you look at the surrounding people. It might be a little bit in your mind for Trump, but the reality is this is what RICO cases are. You find the people who are truly guilty, and then you get them to roll. And I'm going to guarantee you some of these guys are going to roll.
Well, and again, and I'm just speaking generally, you don't want to overdo because then you lead, you play into a narrative you don't need, right? Now, Meadows is the interesting one because he's saying pretty quickly to the January 6th grand jury, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, he's providing, yeah. Here's my phone, here's everything.
By the way, it isn't that an interesting, you know, conundrum, a dichotomy here? He's already rolled on one of these, but he didn't roll on this one, or at least they're going to give him the opportunity to roll here pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, he thought he was in the clear, right? The thing with Georgia is they didn't ask. They didn't bring him before the grand jury. See, in the D.C. situation, they brought him in. It's part of the investigation. And Georgia's like, you know what? We don't need to hear from any of you. We don't need to make any deals of any kind. I mean, that's normally what it would be, right? All right, Mr. McNeil, you testify before the grand jury and don't plead the Fifth. We'll give you immunity. Therefore, the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination is off the table. The folks in Georgia are like, we don't really care. We'll just charge everybody. And so that's what's interesting. You've got these co-conspirators, unindicted co-conspirators in the January 6th situation. They didn't get that benefit in state court in Georgia. Here's another thing about state court. We've talked about, can you pardon, can you not pardon? There are now some on the far right who are floating that, well, you don't understand the Constitution correctly because the president does have the power to pardon in a state court situation. Now, I have never heard that before, and it's going to be real interesting to see them play it out, okay? Because the problem is so many of these people who make these comments, and it's very much like the, you know, if you buy into this whole election overthrow government thing, they were talking about, well, we've got all of this evidence, and we'll prove it in court that there was fraud. Got all of these people across the country excited. Oh, maybe our guy can win.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mike Lindell syndrome.
Anything.
Yeah.
Well, it was anything overturned at all?
No.
And poor Lindell looks like the guy who got duped by so many of these because they just kept stoking the flame. So the problem is when you've got these commentators saying, well, you know, I believe that the president can pardon himself in state court after a conviction. You're going to get people improperly all fired up about something or expecting something, and it's not going to come true regardless.
I think that is a pipe dream. It's pretty clear he can't pardon himself and he can't pardon anything else. That's why whoever his VP candidate's going to be, it's going to be someone who's clearly got the commanding order that you're going to pardon me as soon as I get out of here.
But this is the thing. This is what it comes down to. Says who? All right. In other words, okay, Nixon probably presumed Ford would pardon him, but we've never seen any evidence that it was a deal. And again, that was a much different time 50 years ago. All right. So let's say the corrupt, disgraced President McNeil.
Yeah, well, of course.
You'll see where this is going. While if he goes to Vice President Brett Johnson,
okay,
and says, okay, it's really hot. You've always wanted the job. You always wanted to host your own show. I'm going to abdicate, and you promise to pardon me. And Vice President Brett Johnson says, well, sure, of course I'll do that. There's no obligation to do that.
Well,
so President McNeil, the corrupt President McNeil, leaves office thinking, I'm waiting for my pardon, and he goes out to the driveway to the mailbox at San Clemente, just to make the point even stronger, every day, no pardon arrives. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Well, but you do also have two particularly, Carrie Lake and Marjorie Taylor Greene, basically campaigning, saying, I'll pardon you in a heartbeat, or at least alluding to that.
The whole field says that. Ron DeSantis says
that. They'll want to win an election on their own, so they don't want to turn off their base.
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
you can't trust anybody. You can't trust these people. Brett Johnson's not going to pardon you.
Oh, God. Brett, no. He'll look for more charges.
Well, you would be calling for me to be hung like Donald Trump did.
I know a guy. So speaking of Marion and the professor, there are some people in this that I find interesting because this Reverend Stephen Clifgard Lee, the pastor, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. What in the world is this? Why was he included? Apparently Ruby Freeman was a poll worker in Georgia. She was one of them that was harassed. She called the police on him. He says to the police, I'm a pastor. I'm working with some folks who are trying to help Ruby out and also get some truth what's going on. Lee tells the officer. Freeman calls to report him knocking on her door and later parking his car in the driveway. Lee admits he had knocked on Freeman's door, told officers he was prior law enforcement. He was asking, he was trying to offer pro bono service to her and that she turned him down. The indictment alleges the incident was part of an effort involving Willie Lewis Ford III, the head of the Black Voices for Trump, and publicist Trevani Crudy, a publicist for rapper previously known as Kanye West, to encourage Freeman to attest to evidence of fraud in Georgia. They actually have the one person under Crudy met with Freeman on January 4th, 2021, threatened her with jail time unless she provided evidence of election fraud. And by the way, that entire encounter was on video. So it's like I said, an attempted overthrow conducted by the stupidest people on the planet. They were all recorded with their crimes.
Yeah, you know, as a defense attorney in my younger days, there are times you go in. This is the best example. I would have a client come in, be charged with operating while intoxicated, probably called DWI, driving while intoxicated in your jurisdiction. And they'd say, I had one beer and that and plenty of peanuts. And so there's no way I was drunk. And I'm thinking, all right, we got one. And then you go to the police department and they show you the videotape of the arrest. And the client could not have been drunker, falling all over the room, et cetera, because truly in their mind, they thought, oh, you know, I think I was pretty good. Then they even see themselves and go, okay, what kind of a deal can you cut me? When these people realize that here's the video, let's take a look. You're going to go viral. Now, let's talk about a deal. That's how this is going to play out, don't you think? Well, and the first, and it's a matter of the prosecution saying, I'm going to make very few deals. I'm only going to make as many as I need to. First come, first serve. And if you think you can stall and then at the end there's going to be a good deal waiting, not necessarily going to pull it right off the table. It's going to be sharp Shark Tank. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, the batteries were out in my remote one day and was stuck on the channel. And so I saw that apparently what happens is, they make an offer, and if you don't accept quick enough, it's like, oh, sorry, it's off the table. That's how this is going to work from a prosecutorial standpoint, because it does in every other case. This is how you do it.
We'll take a break. We'll come on back. I want to talk, elaborate a little bit more on there, because it's time for you and I to do a little fun game. Who's flipping first? We'll play that. Looking at the lineup here, who's going to be the canary in the room chatting about everything that they did? Jeff Stein joining us right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
What's up, pet pals? Arden Moore here. Coming up on our Four-Legged Life show this week, we're going to talk with two presidents. Dr. Lori Teller of the American Veterinary Medical Association and Lynn Thompson, president of the Cat Writers Association. Be sure to tune in.
Catch the Four-Legged Life show Sundays at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The world has changed. Our economy has changed. And now, more than ever, it's important that your retirement savings is set up to generate income, real money, in your bank account month after month while still controlling your principal. And that's what we do. We're Ferguson Financial. We set up people for retirement income. Call us today, 888-429-5569, and check out our retirement income program, Sunday mornings at 9.
Hi, I'm Mary T. of the Mary T. Family of Companies. Our new Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care is a bold reimagining of what assisted living can be. Our emphasis is on creative meals, outdoor walking paths, and a spectrum of restorative therapies and activities. We are founded on a history of care. We are dedicated to enriching lives. Learn more about Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care by visiting MaryTInc.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us right now. So, Jeff, it's time to play our favorite game. We get to pick who of this crew of 18 is going to be. And by the way, we should mention there are people who are not part of this yet who could end up being part of this. We don't know that for sure. But we have a long list here. Giuliani, John Eastman, Cheesebro, Ellis, Sidney Powell, Mark Meadows, Jeffrey Clark, Ray Smith. You have the Republican Party chair, David Schaefer from Georgia. Yeah, you've got the people accused of pressuring the poll workers. You have the woman that brought the people into the into that one county office to basically steal all the equipment from the computers. By the way,
this is we're playing a kind of a game show, right? Do you want some music for this?
Sure, go for it. There you go. Wow. Yeah. There you go. I'll say that bag of Ricola cost $12. Oh no, I'm off the cliff. Match game, yes.
Because that's sort of what we're doing. We're matching the criminal and the punishment. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mary, so swollen. How swollen is she? Well, I'm not even going to do that. That's the play at home version.
You need a safe word.
Okay. All right, your call.
I think there are a lot of people here who are going to need safe words pretty soon, don't you think?
Yeah, well, hey, I don't discriminate on any level here. I'm all for it.
No.
We all can have safe words. Jeff, who do you think of this crew? Is it Meadows? I think Meadows is one of my top two picks to flip. Do you think? Who do you feel is going
to
be there?
We're playing who's going to be voted most likely to flip?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Meadows. Meadows in a heartbeat because he's the... He gave everything and then some to the grand jury in D.C., all right? Then he comes to Georgia and it's like, wait a minute, I'm getting caught up in this. I'm going to try to move it to federal court. What he's doing is saying, I'm going to fight you on this. And then when his lawyers contact the prosecution and the prosecution says, what are you doing? You can't do this. They're going to say, well, now that you've called us, let's have a conversation. I think he's going to show up in his Atlanta Braves hat, and he's going to just sing like a canary. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
All right. So here's my dark horse pick on who flips, because if you look at 13, Trump's got 13 counts against him. Giuliani's got 13. Ray Smith, the Trump campaign attorney's got 12. The next highest in that group is Kathy Latham. She's the fake GOP elector tied to the Coffee County breach. She's on camera. After she said, I had nothing to do with it, then came forward the video evidence of her indeed actually opening the door for them. She's got 11 charges against him. That's some teeth. She could be going to jail for a long time. My guess is that she is, if she hasn't already called them, that she's going to be calling them pretty quick.
My dark horse is Jenna Wade.
Okay.
She was the high-profile Trump attorney who, just got all full of herself on this. And all of these tweets, now that she's involved, she's trying to do
Jenna Ellis.
I even had it on the screen and then I clicked out of it. Yeah. Jenna Ellis, the attorney who now fancies herself a podcast star and has done a crowdsource, fund my defense fund kind of thing. I think she's scared to death. And I would say Ms. Ellis is my dark horse simply because it leads you to another place.
Well, she was the person standing behind Leaky Giuliani. she's going to have some value there. So, yeah, I have zero doubt some of these guys are going to be flipping and flipping quick. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Trump says, I'll throw all the rest of them under the bus if you let me go. So
they'll be flipping quicker than a pork chop on a stick at the Iowa State Fair.
Nicely done. Jeff Stein, listen to them again this weekend. Hour 2, that's coming up next.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, AM 950 listeners. My name is J.P. Derbogosian, and I'm the host of This Queer Book Saved My Life, the show where LGBTQ guests share the queer books that saved their lives in conversation with the authors who wrote them. This week, I'm talking with actor Troy Stanley about the queer classic Tales of the City and an episode about being ourselves and not apologizing for it. Plus, B.G. Wolf joins us to talk about her new book, April Renegade.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.